In this episode of the Parent Hope podcast,
I've spent a lot of my son's life trying to work out how best he can change and how best he can essentially not be a different person, but sort of be a different person, one that fits in with the world around him. And what I've learned is that to let go of trying to change my son, I can manage my expectations, my emotions, my energy. There's a lot that is not in my control when it comes to living with autism, but I can focus on what I can say and do and what is within my control, and that's managing my own responses.
Hello and welcome to the Parent Hope podcast. My name is Dr. Jenny Brown, and you are invited to join me on a journey through various topics and reflections about the parent-child relationship in the context of the whole family system. From the early years all the way through to young adulthood, my aim is to assist parents to recover their confidence in their role, so tricky in these anxious times. I will be inviting parents to consider redirecting your energy away from worrying about your child and towards yourself and the way you manage yourself with your child. Join me in considering the positive outcomes for children and families when the parent is the project. In this podcast, I'm looking at parenting special needs children. This is a huge and complex and fraught area for parents to navigate. There's so much information out there on particular neurological impairments, diagnostic variations from ADD, ADHD to different levels on the autism spectrum scale. It's tough for parents to navigate. And today I'm joined by a mother as well as a school counselor in special needs schools who will be talking about their experience in this area and how they help parents to navigate this and how they've done their own work to manage themselves as a parent rather than over focusing on fixing a child or trying to change a child or manage the child's difficulties. You'll see from this podcast series that the one thing that every podcast and every blog on the website has in common is an invitation for the parent to reduce their intense child focus, reduce the way they focus on a child, and instead move that energy back to themselves. It's so hard though. Dr. Murray Bowen, who wrote about family systems theory, developed from his intensive research over many years, he writes that the child-focused energy is deeply embedded and it includes the full range of emotional involvements from the most positive to the most negative. And the higher the anxiety in the parents, the more intense the process. For instance, a parent in their calmer periods can know that nagging makes the child's problem worse. She may resolve to stop nagging, only have it to recur automatically when anxiety rises. Can you relate to that quote? I think every parent can. When stress is high, old ways of responding to a child, and how much more difficult it is when parenting a child who has particular special challenges. The worry increases, the focus on the child increases, the number of professionals involved can increase, and all of this can unfortunately serve to intensify an anxious making a project out of the child who is challenged. This can have real ramifications for the child's development, just as it can for any child who has their developmental breathing space crowded by the reactivity of conscientious but anxious parents. I don't want these podcasts to be guilt-inducing. Parents have enough of that. And I have learned through working with parents with special needs kids that the challenges can be huge. A highly unregulated child who seems to show no capacity for empathy or social sensitivities, where conflict and aggression can rage out of control so easily. These are some of the challenges that are presented to parents. And how does a parent navigate that without over-focusing on a child? So challenging indeed. And the message that I hope that can be conveyed in this interview is that parents can make a difference even when there are genuine biological, neurological difficulties for a child. Parents can make a difference by making the project themselves and not the child. I'm really glad to have Nicole Clark agree to be part of this podcast today on parenting special needs kids. So Nicole, would you introduce yourself to our audience both as a professional and as a parent?
Yes, love to. I'll start as a parent. I'm a wife and a mother to three energetic boys. And over the last few years, we've entered the world of teenage boy hormones and all the fun that that brings. Mm-hmm. And our middle son has autism, and we've been on a journey now for almost 12 years as we learn how to support all of our boys, but especially the unique joys and challenges and complexities that our middle son's experience of neurodiversity brings. Mm-hmm. And I guess as part of that journey in learning how to support our child with autism, my husband and I have sought help to strengthen our parenting and our marriage. And we've been engaging with family systems counseling for a few years now. And professionally, I'm also a trained school counselor. And I've worked for several years in a couple of different special needs schools, working alongside children with intellectual disability, with mental health disorders, with autism and ADHD. That's just a few of them. And I work with the children, but I also work to support the parents and their families.
Helpful intro, Nicole. And I've learned a lot working with you and your husband. And it isn't my specialty, as it is for you, working with special needs kids or kids with neurodiversity. Can you just say briefly some of the unique challenges you're up against with a child with a relatively severe autism diagnosis?
Yes, there's many wonderful joys and many wonderful highlights and uniqueness that he brings to our family experience and our family unit, but there's also lots of challenges where you just kind of don't know what's coming next and you don't know how to respond and you think every little stage might get better and every little stage has felt like it's gotten harder and you think the next age we're going to be through this, and then there's a new challenge and a new complexity, and that has ranged all the way through from emotional to behavioral to physical. And then what does that look like for everyone in our family unit, not just our child with autism?
And another piece of the journey that you've helped me understand a bit more about is what it's like for parents navigating support offerings. What are some of what you've experienced in that space?
Yeah, so we've experienced it personally, and I've also experienced it walking alongside the families that I work with. There are many challenges to helping, that parents face navigating the system. This can range from long wait lists for diagnosis through to engaging with therapists and navigating funding schemes. Where I live and work, our government supports children with disabilities, and it currently has a disability insurance scheme in place where parents essentially need to prove that they require funding to support their child's needs. And so without really meaning to, there's a large focus on what the child can and can't do. and specialists and allied health services work to meet particular goals. And so in doing that, there becomes a great emphasis on constant improvement and a hypervigilance almost on monitoring the child's progress and proving to funding bodies that your child is developing, they are improving, and they are meeting those said goals, because if they're not, then you don't get any more money to meet with those therapists. And then when this doesn't happen, when they're not meeting those goals, it can leave parents devastated and despairing and wondering where to go to next. We were told, and parents have been told from when their child was very young, that improvements and meeting those objectives will happen. And I observe in the families that I work with that this can plateau, or it can regress, or there's a season of life where that's not happening for the child or the family, and parents are left feeling without hope. Or things happen in life, COVID happens, big family moves happens, a parent changes work or a child changes school, and that can not meet the goals that were promised to meet. And that, where do you go to from there?
Yeah, I'm hearing you, Nicole, this added layer of extra anxiety trying to fit into a funding system, diagnoses that receive fundings, what level of diagnoses receives funding, what you doesn't.
Where we live, you have to prove that the diagnosis is lifelong, but yet you also have to prove that they're getting better. How does that go together?
It can be super confusing for parents, for sure. And potentially helpful on one level and compounding the focus on the child and all the anxiety around, are they getting better, and fix my child.
Yeah, that's the big catch cry. It's child focused. Like, that's essentially the kind of summary of the scheme. It's child and individual focused, and that brings its own challenges.
Sure. And that leads to asking you about your experience, again, personally as a parent, but also what you notice in your assisting other parents in this space, of the different programs for parents out there. What you're saying is that everything is very focused on child improvements, on the child focused. What's been your experience of the paths that the approaches take parents and families along?
I can start with our journey. So we experienced challenges with our son pretty much from birth. From his early weeks, we were seeking support services. They included baby sleep training programs and preschooler behavior intervention programs, referral to specialists for diagnosis, and referral to allied health services for early intervention programs, focusing on emotional and behavioral support and interventions. And that was all before he even went to school. And then school came, and
it's pretty intense.
Yeah. And they were trying to, and then there was new services that were trying to almost help him change and respond to overwhelming situations in more acceptable ways. We continued navigating government funding schemes and accessing therapy throughout his primary years, trying to understand his neurodiversity, trying to understand how we can best love and care and parent him. It is definitely an emotional roller coaster of the joy and then the perceived setbacks. And so those are all the different services that we've engaged with since.
What are your thoughts on the impact of that degree of child focus? The helpful aspects, but possibly the unhelpful aspects.
It really feels like a roller coaster. Like, you can have progress and you can celebrate the joy and think we're going to be there, and think, right, this problem that we've had for so long is not going to be a problem anymore. And then the next life stage comes, or he moves from preschool to kindergarten, and it is harder, and it goes backwards, and you think, what happened? What did we do wrong? Why is he not progressing? Why has he gone backwards? And that's just led to grief tears and where do we go? What do we do? And now he's bigger and he's stronger, and that's a whole new world of challenge. And what do we do? I'm not going to be able to do what I used to do because he's bigger than me now.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that look like? And where do I go from here?
Yeah. What are the dominant approaches you've come across in this area in terms of parenting approaches?
Yeah, so there's behavior intervention programs, and that there's a whole range within that, through to the really focused ones where they're intense behavior support, kind of 20 hours a week, kind of trying to modify his response to different things, trying to change his behavior, through to kind of more emotion focused programs. We've tried both, where it focuses on kind of a parent's emotional response and the child's emotional response, and kind of changing that changes behavior and outcomes. So there's been behavior-based programs, emotion-based programs. There's been routine, structure-based kind of plans. If we prepare, if we provide social stories, if we provide routine and structure, if we do all of these things, he will respond in different ways. There's been support for our other children. So they've mm-hmm. undergone, they've attended their own therapists to try and kind of do family support programs, kind of how are they responding to him. We've done behavior-based programs where all three children are playing together and are monitored, and kind of interactions around that.
Wow, the word that just keeps coming into my mind is intense, intensity, mm-hmm. a lot of fixing effort. Some of it, I'm sure, well researched and sound. Yeah,
it's a lot. Emotion regulation. Okay,
what a list. Yeah. What a list. So, what led you to trying something different when you came to a family systems based approach, which is all about getting the focus off trying to fix and change the child and putting it on learning about self as a parent and what's in your control to manage? What took you there?
I knew a little bit about family systems theory from my professional capacity, and I got to the end of, not the end, we're still on the journey and still accessing some of those therapies, but I was at a place where I was just like, it's just getting harder. Mm-hmm. We've done everything they've recommended and everything that the specialists are saying we should do, and it was harder on our marriage and it was harder on our other children, and I just thought, perhaps we need to stop. My husband and I need to look how, what we can be doing. And so we started together the Parent Hope Project, and we started sessions. With the aim of, I was at a place where we were feeling hopeless. And so I thought, right, let's do the Parent Hope Project, because I'm feeling hopeless. Like, we're not going to get anywhere. I was scared of the teenage years. I was scared of what was going to come and what that might look like in our family as he got bigger and stronger and emotional and hormonal. So that's why I turned to Parent Hope and Family Systems when I did. I thought it was something my husband and I could do together as well, to get on the same page. So it was kind of shifting the focus from all that child intervention and behavior intervention to looking at what we could do, my husband and I.
And what's been the effect of that redirection of your energy?
So the Parent Hope Program has taught us not to focus on what our son can and can't do, or what goal he should or shouldn't be reaching for next, but instead helps us focus on making changes to ourselves and the way that we interact with all of our boys. And this has helped us let go of frustration, and it's helped us find a way forward. That way forward is us and managing ourselves, so that we can be the best resource that we can be as my son's parents, for supporting him, for his growth. That's Yeah, really.
Nicole, I'm noticing you're speaking the us and the we of you and your husband as parents. And I respect that. I know it's been a journey for both of you that you put a lot into. But if you were just speaking for the I, what would you say for yourself has been a key part of the journey of working on you rather than the we of you and your husband?
The key part for me has been noticing the difference that I can make in the interactions I have with my son and with all of my boys. I have spent a lot of my son's life trying to work out how best he can change and how best he can essentially not be a different person, but sort of be a different person, one that fits in with the world around him. And what I've learned is that to let go of trying to change my son, I can manage what I expect and don't expect. I can manage my expectations, my emotions, my energy can focus on me and not him. My energy can focus on me and not my husband doing things better. How can he parent better? How can he change so that we don't have these complexities? How can my other children, there's a lot of times my other children, I would just say to them, just do this so that it doesn't upset your brother. And that's trying to get them to be different people. Mm-hmm. I've learned to focus on what's in within my control. There's a lot that is not in my control when it comes to living with autism, but I can focus on what I can say and do and what is within my control, and that's managing my own responses.
And is there anything you would add as to the different pathway that this has taken you on and the effect of it? What are the encouragements you've seen? What are the ongoing discouragements?
Yeah. I think it's nice to feel free to say that my son will always have autism, that he will always be the funny and intelligent and complex and emotional person that he is. And my way forward and his way forward is not based on trying to change him so much. He has still lots of things he needs to learn to grow in, but every child does. He needs to learn to think of others, and he is still growing, trying to take his responsibility for his emotional growth. But I'm also taking responsibility for my emotional growth as I parent him. And yeah, that kind of gives me some hope for my day-to-day life. I'm not quite as scared of the teenage years as I was when we started. It's going to be hard. That's just the reality. But I can only do me, and I'm not trying to manage the future anymore. It will come, and I will grow in how I can support him through managing my energy and my emotions and my parenting.
Well, thank you so much, Nicole. That's really helpful to hear. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining me today on the Parent Hope podcast. I trust it's left you with helpful food for thought as you consider how getting a worry focus away from your child and rather investing in yourself as the main project can bring renewed hope and confidence to your parenting. If you'd like to access more resources, to find a Parent Hope coach, or to sign up to online parent courses, go to our website, parenthopeproject.com.au, and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and share it with those who you think might also benefit from these perspectives.